figure in a lot of ways and a mentor, and thankful for how God's used him in so many ways. Thankful that God's brought him here. And I'm thankful especially to meet you. And Valley Avenue Baptist Church is excited. We're honored to be a part of still Pastor Moore's ministry, and we're excited that the church family here has accepted him and is behind him, and we're just thankful for that. So thank you, church. Thank you for the good spirit and just the spirit of unity, and things like tonight, a lot of good spirit, good attitude, and we're thankful for that. Praise the Lord for that. Awesome. What God's doing, amen. I'm getting excited. I'm not even a member. I'm like, what in the world? God is good. So praise the Lord for all that. We'll say more about all that maybe on Sunday, but for now, let's just right into the Word, amen. So Luke chapter 5, and I guess your custom is typically to stand, Pastor Moore. And so whenever you find your place in Luke chapter 5, if you wouldn't mind to stand, Luke chapter number 5. By the way, many of you have met my wife, Chelsea. Sorry, I'm just trying to get right into it, but can't forget that, amen. The best part of my family, right there, Miss Chelsea. And we have three girls, Myla, Kara, and Nora, 4-year-old, 3-year-old, and 1-year-old, all girls. And so I don't know, who's the girl dad in here who has the three girls? Brother Manny, you're the one with you have the three girls? Yeah. Kindred spirit. Well, you have, yes, three and more. Yes, thankful for that. Five? Oh, man. My people. So I have three girls, only, and they're all girls, and they're very girl. And so exciting, very exciting in the Berry house, but we're excited to be here. And Pastor Moore's got the four boys, and so I have experienced that, and I will say I'm thankful for the girls, amen? Smells way better in my house than it did. Anyway, we'll move on. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 says this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. I'm in John. They're like, what? This doesn't sound right. At least I knew my passage well. I'm just talking. Luke chapter 5. Let's go back there. You can read John 5 in your own time. Great chapter. I'm confident of that. Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he was left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. It's a good problem. Verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Amen. And when they brought their ships to land, this is very important. I want you to really focus on verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Forsook all and followed him. So the title tonight is this, All In. All In. Subtitle. Pastor Moore loves my subtitles. I always have them. I can't just pick one. It's time to lay aside your nets. It's time to lay aside your nets. Let's pray. We'll get right into it tonight. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of it. Thank you, Lord, for Western Hills Baptist Church, how you're working in so many ways. Thank you for these dear people. Pray that you help me tonight as I declare your word. Help me, Lord, to say it in a way that's understandable and that your Holy Spirit would take control of it, the truth of your word, and apply it and use it in the hearts of your people even tonight. We love you in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. So when we come to Luke chapter 5, news has been spreading fast about Jesus. This is very early on, really, in his ministry. He was baptized there by John the Baptist and overcame the temptations of Satan. Remember that? In the wilderness. And then he began what is known as his Galilean ministry and really began preaching all throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues, preaching all over the place, preaching in the fields, preaching in the streets, just preaching all over, but not just preaching. At the end of chapter 4, it tells us that Jesus actually healed everybody who was sick in Capernaum. He healed everybody who was sick. And we read that, and we're like, yeah, okay, but no, listen. He eradicated disease in all of Capernaum. Like, that's a big deal. Amen? And so people were hearing about this. He was casting out demons. And he was healing the sick, and he was performing miracles. And so there was a great host of people who was following Jesus and were interested in Jesus. But what Jesus was most concerned about was this. He was glad to heal people. He was glad to cast out demons. But what he was most concerned about was preaching the Word of God. And that's why it says in Luke 4:43, and it says this, "And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also." Jesus was about healing people. It was nice, but healing people was not his main priority in being on this earth. Casting out demons was great, and the one who the demon was cast out of, I'm sure, was relieved about that. But what Jesus was most concerned about was not casting out demons. Listen, Jesus knew that the only way someone can enter the kingdom of God was to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Jesus knew that. And so Jesus was glad to heal the sick and glad to cast out demons. But really, everything he did was pointed to the preaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the kingdom of God, the preaching of the coming kingdom of God, the preaching of eternity to come. And he was happy to take care of the physical and the temporary needs of man, but he was most concerned with the spiritual and, listen, the eternal problems that man faced. That's what he was focused on. And listen, I'm glad that we can serve people, right? I'm glad we can, and we ought to. We ought to help people who are struggling in this life, because people will struggle in this life. And we live in a sinful world, and people go through hard times. And God uses people oftentimes, doesn't he, to help people in those physical problems and struggles of living. But listen, when we see people, we need to notice their struggles, but we really need to look past their struggles and look past this life and see their next life. We need to think that way. And listen, and as we're concerned with their next life, and we love them that way, then we will naturally notice the struggles of living. But we need to look past this and look to the life to come. We need to be compassionate, but mostly we need to be focused on their eternity. And listen, all of that happens, the way we affect eternity ultimately is the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. The preaching of the Word of God. And so that's what Jesus was doing. He was preaching the Word. And then in our passage, chapter 5, verse 1, it says this, that it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, why? Why were they pressed upon him? Why were they crowding him so tightly? Why? To hear the Word of God. Amen? That's what they wanted to hear. And so they pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, and he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. So people were obviously blown away by the miracles and blown away by the healings, but really what they were astonished by and why they were coming to him was to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And the Bible says people would say things like this about Jesus. They were astonished at his doctrine, the Bible says. And people would often say this, "Never has a man spake like this man." Or "he teaches as one having authority," not like the Pharisees and the publicans. And so they were coming to hear his preaching. And as Jesus was preaching and teaching the Word of God, the crowd was getting massive and growing until it gets to this point in chapter 5 where the people were literally pressing upon him like sardines. And he couldn't even speak. They were pressing so tight against him, kind of like here in the front row, these guys. Come on. And so anyway, so that's happening. And so they're pressing upon him. And then he comes to the Lake of Gennesaret, which is another name for the Sea of Galilee. And when he looks across the lake there, he sees some ships. And it just so happens, right, that one of those ships belongs to Simon. Now, this is the same Simon who would later be called Peter. So forgive me tonight. If I say Peter, I mean Simon. If I say Simon, I mean Peter. Same guy, okay? So help me with that, all right? But Jesus would officially later change his name to Peter, but right now he is Simon. And so Jesus asked Simon if he could stand in his boat and if he can teach. If you can imagine the scene, and here he is at the edge of the lake, and the people are wanting to hear the word so bad that they're pressing upon him. And so he asks Peter, "Hey, can I get in the boat, and can you push me out into the lake and so that I can speak to this great crowd of people and teach them?" And I want to say this. This wasn't the first time that Jesus met Peter. It's not like, "Oh, hey, random guy, can I use your boat?" That's not what happened here. He knew who Peter was. Actually, he met Peter first way back in John 1. You remember that? When Andrew, one of the disciples of John the Baptist, he met Jesus because of John. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." And then Andrew and the other John, the one who wrote the book of John, follow Jesus, right? Andrew was Peter's brother. And so Andrew goes and tells Peter, "Hey, this is the Christ, the Messiah." And so that's whenever Simon first meets Jesus. And he starts to follow him somewhat. And Peter's somewhat interested. Simon is somewhat interested in Jesus. But he's not really a follower yet. But later on, it's recorded in Mark 1, 16 through 20, and Matthew 4, 18 through 22, there was a second calling of Peter. Okay, so there's that first calling right there when Andrew introduced him to Jesus. But then, in the course of that time, Jesus called him again, and he made a more direct call this time. And he began to follow Jesus a little bit more serious. And at this time is when he became really a follower of Christ. And everybody knew Simon was a follower of this man, Jesus. But here's the thing. At this point, he was kind of a part-time follower of Jesus. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, it's because at this time, Jesus was still in that area, right? He was in Capernaum where Peter worked, okay? And Jesus was kind of working around that area for quite a while, preaching in the synagogues. And so Simon Peter had the opportunity then to travel with Jesus at times, but then also fish at times, okay? So he was a part-time follower right now. Not to be too harsh on Peter, but really he was following Jesus whenever it was convenient, right? Whenever he doesn't have something else to do, he's following Jesus. And he was a follower of Jesus, and everyone knew that. That's why after synagogue, Jesus came to Simon's house. Remember that? This was in Luke chapter 4. Jesus spent time preaching in the synagogue, and when he got done, they went to Simon's house, and Simon's mother was sick with the fever, and Jesus healed her. Do you remember that? Well, it was right after that, people heard that Jesus can heal, and they brought all of the sick of Capernaum to him. That's when he eradicated disease. And so Peter, everyone knew that Peter was a student of Jesus, Peter was a follower of Jesus, and he was really in an inner circle of Jesus. But now in our passage, listen, Jesus has more plans for Peter. He has better plans for Peter. I mean, Peter's not doing bad. He's following Christ, but Jesus wasn't content with that. And Jesus has more for Peter to do. He wants to call Peter to more. Listen, here's the deal. Jesus would soon be leaving Galilee, and he was spending a lot of time in Galilee, but he was going to be leaving and preaching in other regions of Israel. And so now it's time for Peter to make a decision. Am I going to be a part-time follower of Jesus, or am I going to go all in, and am I going to be a full-time follower of Christ? Listen, it was time for Peter and for James and for John to be all in. This was the deciding time. It was time for them to lay aside their nets and follow Christ. To lay aside their nets and follow Christ. And I don't know a lot of the stories of everyone in here tonight, but maybe you're in here and you have, over the years, shown some interest in Christ. Maybe you've even accepted Christ as your Savior. And you would maybe consider yourself a follower of Jesus in a lot of ways. And maybe you even give some of your time to Jesus, and you come faithfully every Sunday school, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Maybe you come to visitation, and maybe you're doing these things, and I'm glad you're interested in that. But it could be tonight that Jesus right now is calling you to more than that. It could be that. That he's calling you to from being a part-time follower of his to being a full-time follower of his. Yeah. Now, listen, that doesn't mean that God is calling everybody to quit their job. Okay, don't get nervous. Okay, this is not a call for everyone to quit their job and just follow him and see how he figures it out. But following Jesus full-time for you might mean working that full-time job. But here's what we're talking about. Is we're not talking about what sometimes is called full-time ministry. What we're talking about tonight is just being all in and following Jesus, not when it's just convenient, not just following Jesus when you're around other believers, right? Not just following Jesus when you're time to be at church, not just following Jesus in the morning and you have your devotion and then forget about him the rest of the day. No, Jesus, hey, that's good you're doing devotions and it's good you're faithful to church, but Jesus is calling you to more than part-time fellowship. He wants all of his followers to be full-time followers, all in. Yeah. I want to tell you, Christ has more plans for you than just to conveniently every once in a while follow him. He has an amazing, listen, Jesus Christ has an amazing plan for your life. He knows you. He knows what you're going through. He knows how your life goes. He knows your schedule. But listen, Jesus has an amazing plan for you, and that plan can only come when you decide, I'm going to be all in. That means this. If Jesus says it, I'm doing it. And I don't have to check with anyone. If I know God wants me to do this, I'm going to do that. Does that make sense? And if Jesus is asking me to do this and something else comes and it will interrupt that, I'm going to go with Jesus, right? And if Jesus wants me to do something but my family wants me to do something else, I'm going to follow Jesus. If Jesus wants me to do something and my job wants me to do something else, I'm going to follow Jesus. If Jesus wants me to do something and my football coach wants me to do something else, I'm going to go with Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Not just when it's convenient, not just when you have nothing better to do, but all in, full time following Christ. That's what Jesus is calling Peter to. You say, okay, Brother Chad, I get it. So what's that all look like? Well, that's a great question, and I'm glad you asked that. And that's what we're going to do tonight, okay? So just calm down and follow me, all right? Verse 3, ready? Verse 3. The first step to becoming all in is this, letting Jesus in your boat. Let Jesus in your boat. Verse 3, and he entered, Jesus did, into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now remember, Jesus and this crowd came to the sea, and the crowd was pressing, and so Jesus gets on Simon's boat, asks him to thrust him out from the land, and the Sea of Galilee was a perfect place to teach because there was this downward slope that led down to the Sea of Galilee, and there was this mountain range, in a sense, behind, and so as Jesus was in the boat, I guess we can flop it here, and you guys are on land, and Jesus gets in the boat, and he pushes back, and now he's in the boat looking at the people, and there's a slope. It's like a natural amphitheater, so it would have been a perfect environment for Jesus to teach all of these people, and so Simon does. He lets him. He lets Jesus into the boat, into his boat, And then Simon pushes Jesus in his boat out into the lake. Are you following me? Are we doing good here? I don't want to add any time to this, so are we doing all right? Okay, and so Simon pushes Jesus out into the lake in his own boat. Now, what is Simon's ship? What's the big deal about that? Well, listen, Simon's ship would have been precious to Simon because it wasn't just like a boat for fishing trips for fun. No, Simon's ship was how he made a living, right? That was his job. It wasn't a hobby for him. That's how he kept food on the table, his ship. And no doubt Simon's father was a fisherman and most likely passed that ship to Simon. And so there would have been probably sentimental value and all kinds of things attached to this ship. And almost everything about who Simon was, apart from Christ, almost everything about who Simon was probably somehow tied to this ship. And so when Jesus said, hey, let me have your ship, that could have been an issue. It wasn't an issue, was it? Not at all. Jesus asked to use a ship, and really, Jesus didn't even have to ask. Look at verse 3. And he entered. He's in the ship. And then he says, hey, Simon, push me off. He didn't even ask, did he? Jesus did not ask. Now, is Jesus rude? No, but Jesus knew Simon, right? And Jesus knew Simon would have no problem with that. And so Jesus walks right onto his boat. And then he says, Simon, push me off into the shore, out from the shore. Here's the point. Simon let Jesus have access to any part of his life. Simon let Jesus have access to any part of his life. Simon had no problem with Jesus getting involved with and using anything that Simon had. Everything Simon had was Jesus to use at any time, at any time. Nothing was off limits, and everybody knew it. Luke didn't even have to tell us that Simon obeyed, by the way. He says here, hey, Simon, push me off. It never says he did it. Everyone assumed it. Why? Because that's how Simon lived. Simon was going to let Jesus have anything Jesus wanted in his life. Jesus asked it, and it was done. I want to know tonight, is that true of you tonight? Does Jesus have easy and free access to every area of your life? Hey, if Jesus wanted to use any part of your life for his service, would you immediately obey, or would there be some hesitation? Or would you have to ask, and then ask again, and then ask again, and then the fifth or sixth time, all right, fine, you can have it. Or would you be like Simon, who said, Jesus, you don't even have to ask. Just jump on the boat. I'll push you out. That was Simon's heart. I hope that's your heart tonight. If he wanted to use your job to further his kingdom, would you let him? If Jesus wanted to use your family, hey, use your family to further his kingdom. Like if your teenager comes to you and says, Mom, Dad, I want to be a missionary to, I don't know, Cambodia. Would that be okay with you, or would you be hesitant about that? Hey, Dad, Mom, Dad, I want to go to Bible college. No, hold on, wait, let's think about this. Or would you say, well, whatever God wants you to do, I'm excited. Listen, does Jesus have easy access to every area of your life? That's what it looks like to be all in first. Let Jesus into your boat. The next step is to trust and obey. To trust and obey. Look at verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, you and I read that, and we know what's going to happen, right? Like, Peter, do it, right? Just do what he says. But listen, here's what you have to remember. Peter is the expert. Jesus was a carpenter, not a fisherman. Peter, Simon, he was the expert. He had fished for literally his entire life. I said literally, and then I thought about teenagers using literally wrong, and I want to say a joke right here, but I don't have time, okay? But literally does not mean I'm going to say a metaphor after I say literally, okay? I'm just going to stop. Out of time. When you say literally, that helps us know that you're not, that you're being literal, okay, teens? All right, anyway. So Peter was a fisherman for literally his entire life. Like, he actually was, okay? And his parents, his dad was probably a fisherman, and his grandfather was probably a fisherman. He grew up with this. There's a reason why the boat was on the shore, because they had fished all night. And by the way, fishermen did that. They always fished at night because that's when the fish would catch better. And during the bright day time when Jesus would have been fishing right here, the fish weren't so happy to bite. And so they would fish all night, and they would wash their net in the day. That's how it worked. And so now Jesus comes up to him and says, hey, here in the broad daylight, fishermen, why don't you go ahead and cast your nets out? And remember this. First of all, that was a bad time to catch, in fisherman world, that was a bad time to throw the net out. Secondly, during the good time to fish, they caught nothing, right? All night. They fished all night and caught no fishes. That's the song, right? And so if we sing it, we know it's true. And so they fished all night and they caught no fishes. And now, disappointed, during when they should have caught fish, there were no fish. Now it's broad daylight. Fish don't bite now. Jesus says, cast the net. And Peter could have got snarky. Say, hey, fisherman, hey, carpenter, okay, this isn't the time. Let me be the fisherman, you do the preach, I fish. No, that's not what he did at all. He said, we haven't caught anything all night, but at the end of verse 5, he says this, nevertheless, here's what he says, hey, at thy word, I'll do it, at thy word, I will let down the net. Hey, none of this made sense to Simon. Jesus didn't, like, convince him. He didn't explain to Simon why he said to do this. He didn't explain, actually, Simon, where you are, I'm God, and I put the fish right there. He didn't explain any of that to Simon. All he said is, Simon, be quiet, throw the net, right? Just throw the net. And so Simon would have been confused. He didn't understand, but he didn't need to understand. All he had to know is Jesus said, throw the net, and so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to throw the net. He was going to trust and obey even if he didn't understand. Listen, you will never, ever, listen to me, you will never, ever be all in when you don't trust Jesus if you don't understand. If Jesus has to convince you every time he talks to you for you to obey, you're not all in. If he has to make sure that you understand he knows best, you're not all in. No, it has to be a given. If Jesus said it, I'm going to do it. I don't have to understand it. He's God. And if he said it, now you need to be sure he said it. That's important, and that's sometimes a toil, and that's sometimes a struggle. But if you know Jesus called you to do something, you do not need to ask him to clarify. You don't need to ask him to make it make sense to you. It's not always going to make sense to you, because he's smarter than you a little bit, don't you think? And so you just say, Jesus, what you say, I'll do it. Trust and obey. Yeah. You don't need to understand what you're doing. You just need to understand who you're following. Who you're following. Just like when my kids ask us why we do things. Sometimes I explain it to them. Do you remember Milo, Karen, 4, 3, and 1, and girls? Right, guys? And so they come to me and say, Dad, why? Sometimes I can explain to them why we don't punch our sister or pull at her hair, things like that. But sometimes I don't have time to explain to you. Second of all, you're 4. So there's some things you don't know. You just got to know. Daddy knows better than you. Just do what Daddy says. Why? Because you know Daddy knows better than you, and you know Daddy loves you, right? And would Daddy do anything to hurt you? Well, no. Okay, well, then just obey Daddy, right? I don't have to explain everything to a 4-year-old or a 3-year-old who actually wants more explanation than the 4-year-old most of the time. And we understand how frustrating that can be. Just imagine how frustrating it is for God. Hey, God, I know you said this, but you're going to have to make it make sense to me. Maybe God knows some things you don't know. Just trust and obey. Trust and obey. So let Jesus in your boat, trust and obey. And you just see what Jesus is going to do. He'll do some awesome stuff. We found out tonight he's doing some awesome stuff, even right now, because there's a man and some others in this church that have let Jesus have their boat and are trusting and obeying. Amen. Well, Peter did that. Simon did that. And then he saw something awesome. Verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And so they throw it over. Immediately the net fills up. They're pulling the net. The net broke. It's not like he made a flimsy net. No, this was a net he used day in and day out. They would have known how much fish are in that ocean. They would have known what a normal catch was, but this was not a normal catch. This is more fish than any fisherman has ever fished for, right? And so they throw it in, and immediately the net breaks, and so they call in their friends and say, hey, come help us, because not only is the net breaking, but my boat can't handle all these fish. And it's incredible what God did, right? It's incredible, more than he could have ever understood. And if Jesus would have explained that to him, he probably wouldn't have understood it, probably wouldn't have really believed him. But that didn't matter. He just obeyed God and saw something amazing happen. He saw something amazing happen. Listen, sometimes we think we can disobey God to do our jobs or live our lives. And if we disobey God, and just, he'll understand. Right? And we think we can live that way. I know what God wants me to do, but in this case, it really would be better if I just did my own thing. And sometimes we think we can disobey God and things will be better. But if you refuse to follow God, you might have a lot of experience, like Simon and John and James did. You might have a lot of ability, but no amount of experience, no amount of ability can amount to the power of God. And we cannot expect to disobey God and then for things to work out well. But we can expect to follow God, and he's going to take care of it. Amen. And when Simon was confronted with Jesus' power, here's what he did. He worshiped Jesus, verse 8. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Yeah. When Simon Peter truly understood who Jesus was, he also understood who he was. Right? He said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Now hold on. Simon's done everything right in our passage, right? He's let Jesus in. He's pushed him out. No questions asked. He, you know, threw the net over, even though he could have given Jesus some flack for it. Nope. In this passage, Simon's really done everything right. But why then right here does it say, he says, I'm a sinful man? Here's why. Because when you come into the power and presence of God and you see God Almighty work in your life, you're reminded how low you are. And as you remember how high God is, you remember how low you are. That's why worship services aren't up here. Worship services are down here. Because when we understand who God is, it makes us low. And that's where Jesus, that's where Simon was here. He wasn't bowing because he had done something wrong. Actually, no, he was bowing because he was experiencing the power of the living God. And he understood his unworthiness, and he bowed before Christ. Yeah. And when we understand the power of God, it's humbling. It ought to be. It's humbling. And so then Jesus starts to call Peter to something more. Look in verse 10. And so was also James and John, son of Zebedee, and partners of Simon, and then the middle of verse 10. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Hey, when you're ready to be all in, Jesus will tell you what that looks like. Hey, he'll guide you. He'll direct you, won't he? When it's time to move, he will tell you if you're all in. If you're all in. Don't expect for guidance and direction from God if you're not ready to be all in. He's not going to guide you. He's not going to show you the next step if you're not ready to do what you've already known to do. And some of us want to be guided and directed by God, but we won't even, you know, read our Bibles. We won't come to church faithfully. We won't do this or that. There are some things we know God wants us to do, we're not doing. And if we won't do those things, don't expect for him to lead you further. But whenever you're ready to be all in, whenever you say, God, I give up. God, I'm sinful. God, I don't know what I'm doing. God, you know best. Whatever you say, I'm going to do it. Any part of my life, you can have it. When you pray that prayer, he'll begin to move, won't he? And he'll begin to show you. He'll begin to direct you. He'll begin to guide you. So Jesus called them to follow him and catch men. Jesus said, hey, I just showed you what I can do in your life as a fisherman. Hey, if you're Peter and you're a fisherman, I'm going to follow Jesus and maybe he'll help me catch more fish, you know? I'm asking for more stuff, right? Yeah. Let's go fishing again tomorrow, Jesus. But Jesus says, no, we're not going to catch fish anymore. We're going to go catch men. And he tells and he guides and he directs Peter. Yeah. Humanly speaking, it would have really made more sense for Jesus to stay and fish with Peter. But spiritually speaking, it made a lot more sense for Peter to follow Christ and catch men. Because they weren't concerned about, listen, when you're all in, you're not concerned about how well you can do on earth. You're concerned about how well you can be used by God to affect the next life. Yeah. And sometimes we're scared to be all in, because we're afraid of what he'll ask us to do sometimes, right? I think the first time Jesus met Simon and he asked him to do this, Simon wouldn't have been so excited, because Simon wasn't all in yet. I think back when they were at Simon's house and his mom was sick and he was, you know, frantic and all that, and Jesus healed. At that point, he probably wasn't ready to hear this. But now that Simon was ready to be all in, Jesus was ready to ask him to do something. Because why? Because Peter was ready to do anything Jesus asked him to do. But sometimes we're not there. We're scared of what Jesus will do. I'm afraid to follow Christ because what if what he tells me to do is boring, right? I'm afraid to follow Christ because what if what he tells me to do is scary, or maybe he calls me to do something that I can't handle. And we start to be nervous to give our life to Christ because we don't know what he'll call us to do. But when you understand who he is, hey, when you understand who Jesus is, and when you watch him be faithful over and over and over, when you understand his power, when you understand that he knows best, then it doesn't really matter what he asks you to do, right? It doesn't matter what he asks you to do. It just matters that he asked you to do it? Yeah. Some of you are holding on too tight to your nets. I don't know. I've been talking to Pastor Moore, but we haven't gotten to anyone's personal life, okay? I don't know what's going on in this room at all. But I just know people oftentimes hold on to their net. Well, what do you mean? Well, what's the net? Well, the net, again, was Peter's security. The net was whatever, Peter's life. The net was Peter's family. The net was Peter's generational, all of the sentimental value. It was who Peter was outside of Christ. And he let go of the net. And some of us won't let go of the net because we're scared of what Jesus will do with it. Yeah. Hey, it wasn't a bad thing that Peter, James, and John were fishermen. Nope. It wasn't a bad thing. It was a bad thing for Peter, James, and John because Jesus had other plans. Are you following me? Being a fisherman wasn't a problem. But being a fisherman was a problem for Peter, James, and John. Why? Because Jesus had different plans than fishermen for Peter, James, and John. And God doesn't always call everyone to give up their jobs and follow him. This isn't a call, again, for you to talk to your boss in the morning and quit. Okay? Only if God wants, you better make sure that God's telling you to do that. But some of you might be excited about that. Hey, Pastor Chad came and said, I gotta quit, so I'm gonna trust God and see what happens. No, make sure that God's the one who told you to do this. But this net does represent everything you know, your entire life. Galilee was their home. Their families were there. This is where they were comfortable. This is where they were happy to follow Jesus part-time and fish part-time. The problem was Jesus was calling them to more. Sometimes following Jesus means to give up some things. Sometimes it does. There are some sins that you'll need to give up if you're going to be all in. That's kind of sarcastic. Every sin needs to be given up. But you know what I mean, though. I'm talking about the net. And you're comfortable with this sin. And this sin means something to you. You know? Now we have to let it go. We have to let it go. Hey, it's frustrating when you're trying to live life the life God called for you, and it's over there outside of Galilee, but you won't let go of your net. There's some sins that God's calling you about. I don't know what it is. There's some attitudes maybe you need to give up if you're going to be all in. Some sinful attitudes, I mean. There's some mindsets, some sinful mindsets, some sinful ways of thinking that you've allowed the culture of this world to get in and affect how you think and process and look at life. You're going to have to give some of that up if you're going to be all in. There's some relationships that you'll need to sever, if you're going to be all in. There are things like that. But listen, there are also some otherwise fine and okay things that God might ask you to give up. You need to be willing to give them up. If you're going to be all in, I mean. If you're going to be all in. There are some activities that you might have to give up or scale back if you're going to be all in. There are some apps on your phone that might need to be deleted. Hey, not sinful, but God says get rid of that if you want to be all in. Hey, God has a plan for your life, and if you want to be all in with his plan, then you have to be willing to give up your plan. If you are going to be all in with Christ's plan, you need to be willing to give up your plan. And there might be some places where your plan and his plan line up. That might happen, but I seriously doubt that your plan is exactly the plan that the Almighty God has. And so you need to be ready to give up any part, and if necessary, every part of your plan, if you're going to follow and be all in with Christ's plan. Yeah. You have to be willing to give up what's comfortable. And you'll have to be willing to choose God over anything. And that's where Simon was, and that's where Peter was. That's where James was. That's where John was. And by the way, I'll say this. They gave up their nets, didn't they? That's what it says they did. They gave up their nets, and they followed. They forsook all. They forsook all and followed him. And I'll tell you this. They did not regret it. Not one time did Peter, James, and John regret being all in. The only regrets that Peter ever had were the times in his life when he was weak and he decided not to be all in. There were a couple of times like that. Do you remember when Jesus died on the cross and when he denied Jesus after that? And you know what happened after Jesus, after Peter denied Jesus and went for his own plan? Do you know what he did? He went back where? Fishing. He went back fishing. And you know what the disciples did? They went with him. And they regretted that day. They regretted that day. Yeah. And they went out there, and sure enough, it didn't work. It never does. Hey, giving up, you're following Jesus' plan, and things are going like you want, and you're saying, nope, I'm done with this. I'm going back to my plan. It never works. And so they stopped following Christ. They went back out to fishing. They caught no fish again. And wouldn't you know it, Jesus shows up. And what does he do? He fills another net of fish, doesn't he? And then he brings them in, and he says, come and dine. And he eats with them, and they become all in again. And that's our God, right? Maybe you have been all in before, and maybe you've already made this decision, but along the way you decided, you know what? Nah, I'm going to go back my way. And right now you're finding out it doesn't work, it doesn't satisfy. In fact, it was the opposite of that, and Jesus is calling you to say, hey, have you any meat? Have you caught anything? No. How about you come back? Come and dine. Come and dine. Lay aside your nets. Listen, you don't want that life. You know what I'm talking about. Whenever God says, hey, have any meat? All you can say is, no. I've talked to enough people this way that they maybe have followed God before. And they got away from God and started living their own life, got themselves in some trouble. And they thought when they left, everything was going to be better. Everything was going to be easier. It wasn't. And we talk to them, and they say, hey, I mean, are you happy? No. I mean, was it worth it? Mm-mm. Why don't you come back? Sadly, I hear this a lot. Can't. Too far. It's a lie. It's a lie from the devil. Jesus isn't the one telling you can't come back. The devil is telling you you can't come back. But Jesus is saying, come and dine. You know what happened after that? Peter went on to be really the head, didn't he? Really the head of the movement in Acts. And as long as you're breathing air, God's plans, God still has plans for you. Hey, they might be different plans than they were before. I get it. That's true. Maybe at times your plan, because of some decisions you've made and some moves that you've done and some actions that you've taken, you're disqualified from maybe some of the things that God was calling you to before. And maybe those plans are gone, but God can make new plans. And God has plans for your life. Here's what you need to do. Just come back. Come and dine. Put down the net. Come to Christ and see what he'll do. Because there's nothing like a life that is all in. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. They stand together. The piano is going to play.